Okay, we are back on the Andy Finn Show, and that interlude that you heard was what's known as a tall tale, and I'm sure you figured that out, but my relationship with Mick Jagger is all in my head, and so I am practicing that because I am competing at the district level for my local Toastmasters club. This week, I won the Tall Tales contest. Toastmasters does two contests a year, and the fall contest was a Tall Tales contest. So that was my Tall Tales, and my friends at my club honored me with a first place finish, and so I get to refine that tale and tell it again at the district contest in a few weeks. And so the only part that's true in all of that is that the Rolling Stones really are coming to the MCI Center on October 3rd. Other than that, it was a tissue of lies, which it turns out when I put my mind to it, I'm pretty good at. So let me move on to... Oh, let's do the Bushism of the week. We'll keep it light here. So this is one of my favorites because, well, we'll listen to it first, and then I'll explain why it's one of my favorites.
This frightens some in Washington because they want the federal government controlling the Social Security like it's some kind of federal program.
Okay, I just love that. They want the federal government controlling Social Security like it is some type of federal program. This happened during the campaign in 2000. And of course, it turns out Social Security is some kind of federal program, isn't it? Poor George W. Bush. He wonders why people didn't trust him when he went out this year saying, "Have I got a plan for you to revise your Social Security plan?" People thought back and they said, "Isn't he the guy that didn't know that Social Security was a government program?" And also, when you think of him, whether he goes down to handle Katrina, whatever it is, it's not the kind of fellow that inspires confidence. Because, you know, that's just one bonehead comment. He's got plenty of them. And, you know, mispronunciations, you know, saying ingrinable when he means integral, you know, and saying misunderestimate and inventing new words like that. All of that stuff is small potatoes, but some of them are just so scary, frankly. The idea that you could go on the stump and argue that Social Security wasn't a federal program is just amazing. So that is our Bushism of the week. And I'm going to do the rest of this segment on technology, I think. And I mostly want to cover urban legends this week. Now, the first urban legend I want to cover, most of them have to do with New Orleans. The first one is only indirectly about New Orleans. This is I don't want to call it a chain letter, I guess it is. It's a letter, an email that's been circulating for a number of years. And it's this one about don't buy gas from the Middle East. And it resurfaces every time that gas prices go up. But what it does is it basically says, if you stop buying gas from the Middle East, we will teach a lesson to those people and we'll wean ourselves off of dependency on Middle East oil. And then it lists six oil companies that it says import oil from the Middle East, and it lists a very specific number of barrels. Shell, 205,742,000 barrels imported in the year 2001 from the Middle East. Chevron Texaco, 144,332,000 barrels. And it goes on and lists five or six of them. And then it lists six companies that do not import oil from the Middle East, supposedly. Citgo, Sunoco, Conoco, Sinclair, BP, Hess. Well, first of all, some of these companies have combined since this email was put out. But none of this is true. The letter goes on to say, the Department of Energy requires that each oil company affirm where they import from and how much they import. Well, that's probably true, but you don't know how much you're getting. Plus, they buy and sell this stuff. Then it goes to refiners. And so the problem is that it's a world market in oil, so that it doesn't matter where the oil comes from, and it doesn't matter where you buy your gas. If you're paying $3 a gallon, as we are these days, down at the corner Sunoco station, and if more people buy Sunoco because they don't import from the Middle East, Sunoco will run out of gas, and that won't bring down the price of gas at the other stations. It'll drive the price up at the Sunoco station, and then you'll go across the street. Other people will go across the street because the price is lower elsewhere. The nature of a world market is like water seeking its own level. Eventually, it all evens out. And so there's several flaws in the logic of this, but it's simply not true that these first five or six companies do not import oil from the Middle East. And it's simply not true that the other five or six do import oil from the Middle East. All of these companies import oil from the Middle East at some level. But that email has resurfaced now. And then some variations on it have resurfaced about refining capacity, about a variety of things. And they're all telling you, buy this, don't buy that. Don't listen to any of it. It's all fiction. It's what's known as an urban legend. And one way you tell it's an urban legend is when they deny that it is. So this letter starts off with the simple sentence, this is not a chain letter. A chain email. It is merely an interesting bit of information. Anytime you get an email that starts off, this is not a chain mail letter, or this is not an urban legend, that's your first clue that it is. So if it sounds like it might be plausible, but it's a little far-fetched, don't pay attention. We've covered on here before the general rules about urban legends and what to look for. I'm not going to run through them again here, but I will say this. If you ever have a doubt when you get an email, just go out to Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S.com. Now, you can do a search on your favorite search engine for urban legends, and you'll find any number of sites. But one of my favorites is Snopes, in part because how it's organized, in part that you can search on it, and you can very quickly get to the bottom of any story that you read. And I get about one a week from a friend that sends me something. And I know by looking at it, I'm like, this doesn't sound right. This is plain urban legend. I've learned to spot them. I haven't made a mistake in 5 years on these. But I always look them up. Before I email back and say it's an urban legend, I always check it out and I give them the link. So stop passing urban legends around, folks. Here are three more that came from the wide world of Katrina. The first is, stay out of the water. Now, that is a crocodile, and there's this picture in the email of this huge croc. They claim in the letter, it says, quote, this crocodile was found in New Orleans in swimming down the street. It's 21 feet long, 4,500 pounds, and about 80 years old minimum. Specialists say he was looking to eat humans because he was too old to catch animals. I think that's funny. This crocodile was killed by the army last Sunday at 3 p.m. Currently, he's in the freezer at the Azure Hotel. The contents of his stomach will be analyzed this Friday at 2:30 p.m. Now, what's interesting about that is this false sense of precision, that exactly when it was killed, exactly when the contents of its stomach will be analyzed, that lends it credibility, theoretically. So people say, oh, wow, this must really be true. They got a lot of facts here. The more facts, the truer it seems. What they've got is a picture of this monstrous alligator that was approximately 50 years old, not 80 years old, that weighed 1,900 pounds, not 4,500 pounds, and that was 18 feet long, not 21 feet long. But given all that, it was a monster alligator. The thing is, it was not found in New Orleans swimming in the streets. In fact, they've not found any alligators swimming in the streets. Very few snakes swimming in the streets. What they found, I mean, this alligator, this 18-footer, was killed 2 years ago in another part of the country, actually another part of the world. So that's an urban legend as well. Another one that, and this was a great picture, it comes with a picture of a car supposedly suspended in midair coming flying down the street. You can see the palm trees whipping in the background, and over the front of it is the wording from an electronic ticket that is a speeding ticket taken by a speeding ticket camera. And it says, you know, such a New Orleans Department of, or whatever it is, Department of Tech, of Ticketing, and it lists the vehicle, and it says violation, speed 133 miles an hour. So the joke is, supposedly, the hurricane picked up this car, hurled it down the street at 133 miles an hour, and the speeding ticket camera, the police left it operating on the street, and it issued a ticket to this car that the wind was carrying past at too high a speed. It's actually quite funny, but not true. So here's the script that comes with the email. You know these speed trap cameras police often use to catch speeders? Well, apparently one of them in New Orleans was still functioning during Hurricane Katrina and caught this infraction. Now, the picture has been traced by Snopes.com to a previous hurricane. Okay, it's a well-known picture that people had seen, and it came from Hurricane Charley in 2004. And then what someone had done was put the camera, what I want to say, not the camera, the took the car and superimposed the car on the picture. So that's the idea there, and just all rather silly. In any case, I have one more for you, and that is, there are two photos making their rounds on the internet. The one I've received two or three times, the other one I've not received at all. But one is a photo of President Bush and his father fishing in New Orleans, and it shows them holding up their catch, and in the background it shows the flooded streets of New Orleans, like they went down there and they fished in New Orleans. Of course, that is a superimposition of a legitimate picture of he and his father with their catch after another fishing trip, and a picture of flooding in New Orleans. Very clever, looks funny. The second one I thought was cute, too. It shows President Bush playing guitar, but there's a woman there weeping over her loss of her family and or possessions, like near the convention center in New Orleans. Well, there is a famous picture, I say famous, there is a picture of Bush playing a guitar or strapping on a guitar, and there's a kid next to him, but it's was taken long before the flood of New Orleans. It has nothing to do with New Orleans. People just superimposed one picture on the other. So those are the kinds of urban legends that are out there. There's a whole string of them about Katrina. Don't take any of them seriously, folks. If they come along like that, what you should bet is that if it seems like it's probably too funny to be true, too good to be true, if it seems like the cause, the chain letter, is might be plausible but seems a little weird or far out, it's probably a hoax. And whatever you do, don't pass them on to your friends. You can send them to me, though, because I do collect them. And you know my email address. It's andy@andyfinn.us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of other things related to, well, in part, it's going to be the flood, but it's mostly Bill O'Reilly and some of the silly things O'Reilly has been saying lately. Slip out the bedroom window, slide down.